This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where we're talking about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. Yes, indeed, we're talking about a joy for living. Because let's face it, no matter how hard it is out there, and you look at the stock market, and it can feel maybe soft as well as hard, and how difficult life can be, and how often we judge our lives by how much money we have in our wallet and in our bank account. Let's face it. Despite all of that and all of that craziness, isn't today an absolutely, and this moment, an absolutely fantastic moment to be alive? If for no other reason than it damn well beats the alternative. Yes. And so how can we be the best human beings? If we're going to create all this dough that we want in our lives, how can we be the best human beings we possibly can in its noble pursuit? Well, that's what we address every day that we're on the air, and hopefully in our lives when we're not. And to that extent, we've got a great guest today, Steve Behrman, who also has an alter ego. He is not only a spiritual teacher, if you want to call it that, he's an author, a humorist, workshop leader, and he has an alter ego. In fact, I'd go far as to say an altered ego named Swami Bhayananda. So we're going to talk to Steve and Swami later and find out what's going on with him and what he sees in the world. He also has an interesting book we're going to talk about as well, which is called The 7-Step Plan to Heal the Body Politic and Cure Electile Dysfunction. Well, we may need more of a pill for that one, but we'll get to him in a little bit. And also Dr. Hazel Henderson. Yes, she comes back to make a house call for winning business. And you know why it's winning business. It's because nobody has to lose. And so we'll get to Hazel later, and we'll get to Steve Swami later. But before we get to our illustrious guests, you get this week's family-style bowl of stew. Yes, this week it's family-style because I'm going to introduce you to my family a little bit more here because, let's face it, isn't that one of the reasons that we slave so hard, we work so hard for that almighty dollar? It's for the sake of our family. At least that's what we claim. You know, it may be about proving something to ourselves on some profound level. But also, let's face it, you have people you love out there. You want them to have a rich life. You know, and part of that is making money for them, right? Well, the relationships themselves are, in fact, one of the great bases for our wealth to begin with. And if we have a great quality of relationship with our family, it can add so much value to our lives. And those of you out there know the truth of that, and it's really simple. And my best guess is there's some people out there listening that may have, dare I say, you know, family dysfunctional relationship or, family dysfunction of some kind as opposed to electile. And it may not be your choice to have that dysfunction, and it exists nonetheless. Well, I'm inviting you to consider here the question of exactly where does family end in the first place? Because maybe you have friends that you call family. Maybe you have people who you have absolutely no blood relationship with that you call family. And that adds to a richness in your life, does it not? That really is unparalleled. And truly one of the joys of living and one of these things that we call inside wealth. So let me share with you a little bit about what's going on with my family a little bit, and maybe it resonates with you. And maybe, hopefully, it will enrich your life, as my life is enriching me as well. So here you go. As you may or may not know, as listeners of this show, I, in fact, have quite a life experience, not all of which I consciously signed up for, but it's mine nonetheless, so I can't ignore it. And I've been married a couple of times, and my first wife, God bless her name is Kim, and I loved her dearly, and I think some of you know out there that not all marriages actually are till death do us part, and that we do get to reincarnate in this body, and that sometimes the marriage dies before the body does. And frankly, that was the case here. And I'm going to invoke a game show that you may have heard of or seen with this little British lady with a little kind of tart attitude about her called The Weakest Link. Have you heard of that one? The Weakest Link. I think it's in reruns now. Anyway, she's a little saucy little thing who put everybody down. And every time somebody got wrong, I'm so sorry. You are the weakest link. Well, I couldn't help but notice that each of us, I'll speak for myself, that I am only as strong as my weakest link in my life. And I gotta tell you, my relationship with this woman, Kim, my first wife, has been my weakest link for years. And it's really been, it's been difficult for me, for her, and one can only surmise our children together, and we have two girls together. So here we are with my weakest link. And my daughter, Alana, God bless her. Yeah, she had a little accident on the slopes and broke her wrist a couple of weeks ago. So there she is in a cast. And being the avid outdoors person that she is, and that of strong will, she wanted to continue with her horseback riding, even with a cast on. So, of course, I'm not a horseback guy, but her mom is. And so I talked to her about it. Is this really a risk worth taking? Is this something that we ought to do? Or is this maybe, you know, kind of pushing the envelope a little bit and let's let her heal before she hops on the horse? No, she's a good horseback rider, yada, yada. You know, doctor approval, and I know what's going on. And I said, okay, I know you love our daughter. I trust you. So she goes horseback riding on a 25-mile ride. No problema. Well, guess where this story is going? Last weekend, she went on a ride on a relatively new horse that they have, about a, you know, only had it for a few weeks, an Arabian. Now, from what I understand now, after the fact, these Arabian horses not only are among the most prestigious of all breeds of horses, it's specifically because of their great spirit. And sure enough, this horse had some spirit that really got the little a poker up the you-know-where when some cattle nearby all of a sudden appeared and the horse got spooked. The horse bolted, took off, and I don't know much about horse riding or anything else, but the saddle got a little bit loose through the course of the horse's gyration and moving quickly and all of that. Saddle slides, horse starts veering. Alana on the horse starts going at an angle maybe towards 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and decides to hop off with the horse running full tilt. And she severely breaks her ankle, requiring surgery and pins. So here she is. She already has a broken wrist. And now she has to go in for surgery to repair her broken ankle. And I have the opportunity to address my weakest link relationship in the world. And I got to tell you, there was a part of me that wanted to lace into her and tell you, I told you so, what kind of whatever you are, and probably, you know, create some new four-letter words in the process. And go into a place of severe judgment. I didn't. And it's just because, one, it's out of my control. It's already happened, literally and figuratively. That horse left the barn. And there's nothing I could do about it. And the only thing I can do is to address this notion, and we've talked about it before, that the ideal of inside wealth is truly nothing short of unconditional love. And how could I bring that to the moment here and address the weakest link relationship in my process, in this process? So after asking a bunch of questions without judgment, was it possible that did she have to ride this horse? Could she have ridden another horse, perhaps, that was a little bit less spirited or a little more tame? Was there any way for her to have hopped off the horse prior to this horse bolting and everything else? And asking some questions and just kind of doing that, all of it in a calm manner, you know, knowing full well, you know, Kim, my ex-wife, she loves our daughter. She doesn't want to see our daughter hurt. She loves her and is just doing her best. And doing her best to exercise judgment that we all get a chance to question as to whether or not it was, you know, prudent. But you know what? She loves our daughter. Accidents happen. And that's what happened. And in the process of not going to a place of judgment, in the process of saying, you know what? I know you're doing your best and we're really sorry this happened, and when both of our hearts go out to our daughter, whose life is going to be significantly inconvenienced at best for the next month or so, and going through some pain because the surgery did take place, and she's in a lot of pain right now. That's just the truth of that, too, that I wouldn't wish, and you wouldn't wish, on your children, right? That a new level of understanding has occurred. Where, you know, I happen to have a son by my second marriage, by my wife who passed. And my first wife, Kim, has now said, anytime you're on business, anytime you go somewhere, we're family. Feel free to have Nathan come over and spend the night, spend the week, whatever you need, because we're family. So I'm here to tell you, everybody, that my weakest link personally has gotten stronger, for which I'm so humble and grateful. And I'm inviting you to consider what your weakest link is, and see what you can do to address that. We have in studio Steve Behrman, a.k.a. Swami Beyonananda, who's going to share with us his wisdom, his wit, and whatever else you got going on, and we'll find out what that is. So, Steve, first of all, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to Inside Wealth.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And, of course, the Swami is hovering above on his carpet, and I know sometime you'll call him on the carpet and he'll come down.
I certainly will, and hopefully he'll be turban-charged.
Absolutely. He's wearing his turban, as you can tell.
Wonderful. But before we get to the Swami, being that Steve is here, let's talk to Steve for a moment. You know, before we get into what you're up to in the world and all of how Swami got created, how do you define success?
Well, this is very interesting. I define success this way. If you can answer yes to the question, from this you make a living, that's success.
You know, that kind of reminds me of the old Johnny Carson shtick. You know, he did the Maharishi Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
Right. His own version of the Swami.
Exactly.
You know, and he says, what is this that you do, this transcendental meditation thing? Is it a, you know, is it a lifestyle? What exactly is it, a philosophy, a lifestyle? What is it? He goes, no, it's a living, a very, very good living.
That's good. Well, it's a lifestyle and a living. And if, you know, in my high school yearbook, it did not say most likely to become Swami Beyondananda. Didn't say that in there. So this is purely generated by magic over the years. I thought I was a college professor. I got laid off from that job, took a job doing tree work for the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan. While I was there, a friend said, let's start a funny newspaper. We did that, and that was my beginning in doing comedy officially. And then the Swami was just a name that flew into my head. And he's been occupying half of my brain ever since.
Okay, so you got a half a mind for him.
I've got a half a mind for him. You know, multiple personalities, which is really the wave of the future. Because if you think about it, you know, one of the biggest issues in, you know, climate change, global warming, etc., is that there's too many people. So if we use multiple personalities, you know, like I heard about this guy. He had 10 personalities. That's efficiency. Because if we had more people like that, we'd need fewer people.
There you go. So what we're talking about here is to really minimize our footprint, to make the most of all the resources, which on some level are limited in scope.
Yeah, some of them are.
Some of them are. Why not have fewer people and more personalities? We get to dig them around and everything like that. And that's also a form of possibly even compressing reincarnation into one body.
That's right. Many, many incarnations, one body. It really saves on wear and tear. And, you know, you can make those changes like you were talking about earlier. You know, you know, I think that really is true, that, you know, in the old days, you had to go through an entire lifetime learning this particular lesson, and now it's all compressed. You can have 3 or 4 or 5 different lifetimes in one. Careers, marriages, you know?
Hey, everybody out there, you know who you are. How many lifetimes have you had in this body right now between your college years, if that's what it was, your careers, possibly marriages or other significant other love relationships, whatever it happens to be? Is it really true that any of us are the same as we were, let's say, 10 years ago or even 5? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who are, and those people have kind of missed something, I think.
Well, the good news is we get to show up in the moment here, and it ain't over, people, till it's over. So hopefully we can move on here and all have a little bit more of our incarnations and different personalities and let them out sooner rather than later because, you know, I do think the clock is ticking on us in some regard. We've got a little bit less than a minute left in the segment, but I want to talk to you about your site being called Wake Up Laughing.
Is that a reality check for us or what? What is that?
It is. Well, you know, there's two things that are important for me. One is awakening, which really, you know, when they asked Buddha who he was, he said, "I am awake." So what that means to me is that we are awake to what life really is, what the potentials really are, who we are in the matter, how we fit into this existence and in this world. And sometimes awakenings can be rude. You know, if we really were to find out what was going on, we'd have a problem. But if we wake up laughing, there is lightness that comes with the enlightenment, and new information can slide in under the radar.
So we're going to focus now. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more from Inside Wealth. We'll get to the light part of enlightenment right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco.